Welcome to the New Books in Political Science podcast. My name is Heath Brown. Today I'll be talking to Chris Wells, who is the author of The Civic Organization and the Digital Citizen, Communicating Engagement in a Networked Age. The book is published by Oxford University Press. I hope that you enjoy the interview that I did with Chris. Welcome back to the podcast. Again, my name is Heath Brown, and I'll be talking today to the author of The Civic Organization and the Digital Citizen, Communicating Engagement in a Networked Age. The author is Chris Wells. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Keith?
I'm doing great, and I enjoyed reading the book, and this is not the first in this Oxford series. I've had the pleasure to have a couple of others on, and so it's nice to continue along in this series. Before we get to the book, let's just talk a little bit about yourself. And I always like to read the acknowledgement section of a book, and you thank what I count as two or three coffee shops, the Victrola Coffee and Cafe Vita. I'm not sure if that's two or one.
Two.
Those are two different coffee shops. So we know that you are a coffee drinker and you write in coffee shops and other places. Tell us a little bit more about where you've been and where you are now.
Yeah. So those coffee shops are both in Seattle. On Capitol Hill, where I lived for several years while I was doing my doctorate at the University of Washington. So, it was sort of interesting to thank those, since the book is a little bit about civic institutions and public places. I thought that some of the places where the book had happened would be appropriate to thank. So I was at the University of Washington for several years, and since 2011, I've been here in Madison, Wisconsin at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication.
Yeah, super. It's a really interesting book that is, it seems to me, both deeply into the communications literature, but also very political as well. And in the book, you argue that there's this disconnect between youth, by and large, and the institutions that seek to connect to them and mobilize them. And that disconnect is largely communicative. So first, let's talk about these institutions. Who are these established democratic institutions that you refer to?
Well, when we think about civic engagement in the United States, there might be a lot of attention to activist movements, which are certainly a strong and long tradition in American activism. But one thing that I wanted to highlight in the book was that there are civic organizations that really go back to what we think of as the earliest parts of our civic engagement and have provided these opportunities and structured people's participation in civic life for a long time. So these are your organizations like classic fraternal organizations, the Elks and the Masons and groups like this, but also interest groups that people participate in, like the Sierra Club or the National Rifle Association or the NAACP. For 150 years, these kinds of groups have really helped to structure and channel people's participation into the political system so that they understand politics a little bit better if they're participants, and they have direct opportunities to act on issues and concerns that are important to them. So those are the kinds of institutions I'm thinking about. I also add in more recent developments, especially online organizations that have popped up over mostly the last 20 years. And these would be organizations like MoveOn, although MoveOn doesn't actually appear in the book in terms of data, because I focus on organizations that appeal to young people and encourage them specifically to get involved.
So what does it mean that there is a disconnect that is communicative? You talk in the book a lot about civic information. So what is this exactly, and particularly in respect to the paradigms and styles, which is a big part of your approach to understanding this information?
My book looks both forward and backward, and that's sort of maybe a characteristic of my work. As I think we look into the future of civic life and civic life under the condition of a digital media system, I seem to find it useful to look backwards to see how things have been in the past. And that leads to a couple of those sort of conceptual choices that you highlight there. In the case of civic information, I see and I describe in the book are new system in the United States and Western democracies more generally as changing in such a way that you've got people who are not news creators, who are journalists sort of by definition. You've got these non-news creators creating this stuff that's like news. And I look at it from the perspective of the citizen. So sort of news is the stuff that a citizen needs or can use to be an informed citizen and act politically. But that information is coming not only from the New York Times or the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's also coming from candidates who are likely to share via email or Facebook. Maybe they'll share a news story, or maybe they'll share some of their own data or information or some other way that they're conveying information to their publics. Civic organizations do the same thing. The Sierra Club or Greenpeace or the National Rifle Association share information about the world with their supporters, again, via a lot of new media channels. That information doesn't have maybe the same exact characteristics as sort of classic news has in terms of being objective and balanced and citing all the right sources and so forth. But nonetheless, it's from the citizen's perspective, it's useful in forming opinions and shaping how one participates. So that's why I'm interested in this idea of thinking a little more broadly when it comes to information and thinking about civic information as meeting that definition of the information a citizen will use to be engaged and mobilized. And then the other side of the question, looking backwards a little bit, as I looked historically at the interactions between civic organizations and their citizens, one of the things that I noticed was what a large role they played in providing information to citizens historically. In the sort of high modern, sort of mid to late 20th century, we got used to thinking about information as coming from news organizations. News organizations provide information to citizens. Civic organizations allow a space for engagement. But it was never so neatly separated, and especially in the early 20th century and late 19th century, organizations were not only spaces for meeting and action, they were also conduits of information. So I talk about movements like the temperance movement, which ultimately succeeded in creating prohibition, was circulating newsletters, magazines, newspapers with circulations of millions. So they were critical sources of information alongside newspapers at that time. So I found it kind of interesting that what I was seeing with the contemporary information environment in terms of the diversification of sources of information actually had these echoes in the organization's histories.
So younger people use civic information, but you argue that the styles have changed. So what do younger people expect from the civic information that they get? Because this seems to be very critical to what you're arguing in the book.
It absolutely is. So I think about, in the book, I conceptualize both young people's approaches or styles or intuitions for civic information and organizations. And when it comes to young people, I'm talking about people, roughly the millennials, folks born in around 1980 and then in a couple decades after that. These are folks who have grown up in a fragmented media system. They've grown up embedded in a highly commercialized, advertising-dominated one, in which a lot of the information that they encounter via broadcast certainly is not something that they have a lot of trust in necessarily. But also critically, they've grown up in the digital media era. And what I really try to do in the book is offer a conceptualization of how the habitual use of digital media and growing up with digital media has created a sense of how one interacts with information. And here I'm drawing on work like Mark Duze's thinking about a digital culture and what it means to have a culture that is digital in terms of expectations and norms. And especially, I argue that this has resulted in a sort of an expectation, a way of interacting with civic information among young people that is demanding of participation. There's an expectation of interactivity, that information is not a one-way, someone else produces it and I consume it type of scenario. It also encompasses the idea of what Duse calls bricolage, which is that we don't tend to look to a single or a couple highly authoritative sources of information. Instead, our information environments are pieced together from all these different disparate sources. If you think about your Facebook newsfeed, the New York Times might be in there, or a local newspaper might be in there, but the information that it's providing is alongside a variety of sources, a lot of friends, family, civic organizations, celebrities, musicians. They're all kind of mixed together. And what Duse argues and I build on is this idea that young people are trying to piece together their reality from these different sources. And that stands in contrast to the sort of informed citizen ideal of the high modern era of the 20th century, in which a citizen really was supposed to work through the steps of first consuming information for the purpose of becoming knowledgeable, and that information came from a single or a couple of authoritative sources, and then they used that information sometime later in the voting booth. They didn't speak back to that information. They absorbed it and used it in their later mobilization.
So let's move to some of the analysis in the book. Maybe you can talk a little bit about how you examined the civic information of the organizations that you were looking at. So what was the method that you used?
If I may, let me offer one more conceptual piece before I get back, because yep. I think it's important. When you talk about the disconnect, so I've just described a little bit the sort of aptitudes or the civic information style of young people today. The disconnect comes from the difference between that style and the one that civic organizations by and large have honed. And that is one that I sort of describe as a broadcast style, really refined during the later 20th century, in which civic organizations responded to the political environment and noticed how important it was to craft strategic and well-targeted messages and to control those messages and stay on message. This is what they had to do to communicate through the news media and political communication system of the later 20th century. And what I highlight in the book is that that's really in conflict with the expectations of participation and sharing and bricolage of late 20th century citizens. So it's that disconnect that motivates the analyses. So what I was really curious to do was look at the spaces in which civic organizations with those broadcast media logics and inclinations, the spaces in which they entered digital spaces. So entering the domain of the digital culture that I kind of described earlier. So I looked at their websites and I looked at Facebook. I looked at their Facebook presences and really tried to gauge what can we say about these organizations' openness to communicating in the more participatory style, the more bricolage style of pulling together different pieces of information to create a picture of reality. So the main analyses are content analyses. I went in with a team of assistants, first to their websites and then to their Facebook posts, and looked at them and looked for things like interactivity. Are the civic organizations inviting the young people that they're speaking to participate in information creation, information sharing? Are they also looking to them for action ideas? If you're thinking about taking action on a particular issue, is the organization simply dictating, this is what you should do, now go do it? Or are they inviting a conversation and encouraging young people to use the space that they're creating, the communication space they're creating, to share ideas and interact with the idea of, we've got this problem, what is it that we're going to do with it?
And what did you find? Were these organizations providing information in the communicative style that you argue is preferred by younger people, by millennials?
So there's two key answers to that. The first answer is mostly no. By and large, and mostly in line with other research that's looked at political communication in these types of spaces, the organizations appeared mostly intent with broadcasting a fairly developed message. So they were basically using their websites and Facebook as brochureware to send a targeted message to the young people who are consuming the content. At the same time, there were some interesting exceptions and some differences. Different kinds of organizations seem to approach it a little bit differently. So one of the important differences I looked at was sort of proximity to the formal political process, comparing those organizations that are regularly in real political conflict, like the National Rifle Association, the Sierra Club. These are lobbying organizations that are working in politics. If you compare them to more civic citizenship groups like the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, what we find is the more political organizations seem to have a much greater reluctance to invite participation from their participants than the civic groups did. And I suspect that's because it's those groups who are working in politics who just really got the message that you have to protect, that you really have to protect your communication campaign. You can't let someone derail it because you invited them to speak and they say something crazy or outlandish that's going to get you in trouble. So on the whole, most organizations did not provide a lot of those interactive opportunities, but we saw a little bit more of it with real citizenship groups whose real goal is citizenship and improving the civic engagement of young people, like the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, and some other organizations like that.
Now looking ahead, what does this mean for the survival of these types of organizations that are continuing to use, let's maybe just say, sort of outmoded or at least less accepted forms of communication, and these others that are using these more participatory avenues for communicating? What do we think about the future? Is it likely that the ones that have fallen out of mode will also they catch up, or will they just sort of fall away? What do you expect?
I think there's a few directions that we should be looking at here. On the one hand, I certainly do raise the concern in the book that if traditional civic organizations are not able to communicate with young people in a way that is appealing to them, they're likely to continue to suffer in terms of their membership with those demographics. And in fact, I argue in the book that a reason that we might be seeing organizations like Occupy Wall Street in the United States and Los Indignados in Spain, the reason there's so much energy there is that they offer a much more open, participatory type of way to engage for young people. The downside is that they don't have and actually appear to be reluctant to build any of the institutional structures that really helped traditional civic organizations connect people to politics and have an effect on institutional day-to-day politics. That said, I do suspect that as time goes along, the people who run these organizations, who are smart people, will recognize some of these issues and work to address them and in the process change their communication styles. And that'll be partly a process of recognizing the issue, and partly also a question of turnover as younger people go in and take some of the important roles in leadership and in communications in these organizations. I expect they'll bring some of their aptitudes with them, and we'll see an adjustment to the way that those organizations contribute. Finally, I expect that we're going to see a continued growth in the sector of kind of hybrid organizations. These organizations that are predominantly online but are trying to have an impact in the political arena, even as they mobilize a really inspired group of publics, mostly by digital media.
The book is timely and very interesting. The title is The Civic Organization and the Digital Citizen, Communicating Engagement in a Networked Age. Again, the author is Chris Wells, and the publisher is Oxford University Press. Chris, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Heath.